Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sink of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rocking and rolling into the 9 o'clock hour. We're live on Radio Row here in Nolens. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all with you as we grind through this week. I can't believe it's only Tuesday. It feels like Friday. But again, we're now joined by another guest, and our guest appearances are always sponsored here by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, drink responsibly. Gerald McCoy, join us as All-Pro, former All-Pro defensive tackle. Gerald is co-host of McCoy and Van Noy on Yahoo Sports, which is recording from the Toyota Land Cruiser set on Radio Row this week. Welcome to New Orleans, my man.
I appreciate it, man.
Can we have some conversation real quick? So, yeah, I saw something really weird in the media room. Mm-hmm. Guy was eating yogurt with Cheetos.
Ew.
Do your own thing. But also what's weird is when coaches come into press conferences and do stuff like, Duval, what's that do to you?
I already have my personal thoughts about how he left Tampa.
Yep.
I'm a Tampa lifer, and I hold and protect Tampa dearly in my heart. So I already have my personal thoughts about that, which I will hold, and they will come out when necessary. But as a player who's played for multiple new head coaches, if I see that as a player, I'm already like, we're doomed. I don't like tryhards. Mm-hmm. And when you come into when they asked us on NFL Network or on McCoy and Van Noy, what do you look for in a new head coach? You need a coach who can take a group of men and get them to come together for one common cause, and that's to win the championship. You have to be able to captivate a room and get us to buy into what you're saying. If you come in and your first press conference is fake, as a player, I'm already saying, man, this dude, we don't know what we're going to get from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like tryhards. Be who you are. 6'5", black dude who played in the NFL, and I was a defensive lineman. Instantly people think, oh, he's got to be rough. He's got to be tough. Man, I'm a nerd. I got a Joker shirt. My phone case is a Joker. I got a Batman chain on. That's what I got to wear. Glasses.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's who I am. And I'm unapologetically me.
Right.
When you do something like that, I'm telling you right now, that locker room is like, man, this dude here. Because we don't know what we're going to get. Just be you. So we just want to win. We don't care. Like,
so when you saw the Dan Campbell press conference, he's talking about eating kneecaps. That's a buy-in, right? That's not, you know.
Yeah,
that's
because that's him.
That's who he was.
That's who he is. That's who he was. If you go look at all Liam Cohen's body language as the offensive coordinator for the Bucks, right? He gave off this, like, serious kind of demeanor, okay? Mm-hmm. When you come in as the head coach, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't turn into a cartoon character. You know what I'm saying? Like, we seen Dan Campbell prior to what we seen in his press conference is what we seen before.
Yeah.
You see this Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, all these guys, you see it on the sideline. When you see him and then you see his press conference, it's like, which one are you?
So Dan Campbell's the Heath Ledger Joker and Liam Cohen is the Jared Leto Joker.
Man, Liam Cohen is
– he thinks he's Willy Wonka.
He's Harvey Two-Face. You don't know what side you're going to get. He flip a coin, you might get something completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you. Look, I think 50% of the coaches at minimum suck in the NFL. And these guys, like, roll their eyes at me all the time because I can just see they're going to walk in and it ain't going to be successful. It just isn't for most of these guys.
A lot of people are coach and title only.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't know how to coach. They don't know how to lead. They don't know how to be – like, Nick Sirianni gets a lot of grief, but I think, like, he's the CEO of that team. He lets his coaches coach.
You know what a coach is? A coach is supposed to, the definition is it takes important people from where they are to where they want to be. And a coach is supposed to put you in the best spot to be successful. Vic Fangio, Zach Bond, first team All-Pro defensive player of the year finalist, and he was just a guy. Like, he was just a – we didn't know who he was, special teams guy. He put him in a position to maximize who he was, and look what you got. That's what a coach is. My guy, Kyle Van Noy, he got drafted to Detroit or Detroit, however you want to say it, and he was just a linebacker. They put him at a traditional linebacker. That's not what he does. So why put him there?
Right.
Move him to outside linebacker and let him rush the passer two Super Bowls later. Now he's a Pro Bowler. Had the two best years of his career in Baltimore. When you take a guy and you put them in the best position for them to be successful for the greater good, that's what coaches are. Coaches don't take guys and just say, do what I want you to do. I'm going to put you here because that's where I need you. That doesn't work, and that's when you see people fail.
Yeah, and I think that's a good lesson for Andy Reid as well, too, because I remember him years ago when they switched to all the spread offenses in college, and he goes, look, I'm just going to roll with this because these guys have 4 years of not being under center. Yeah. Why am I going to bring them into the NFL? It's like, okay, now you got to do this again. I'm going to adapt to them.
Yeah.
And then he adapted that, you know, Alex Smith. Then he adapted to Patrick Mahomes. Like, Andy Reid has done more adapting and changing as a head coach who shouldn't have to, then probably a lot of these young guys who are going to fail in 3 years.
Yeah, and people fear 15. I fear 15.
Yeah.
You should fear 15. The reason you should fear 15 is because the maximum of his physicality, of his physical gifts we've seen. We've seen what he can be physically with the numbers he's put up and all that. Here's why 15 is so scary. It's because now his mental has grown. And he's playing dominoes now. A lot of people say, well, what's playing dominoes? Dominoes, you score by fives. So now he's dominoing you down the field, the Tom Brady mode. As Tom Brady got older, he realized, I don't have to bombs over Baghdad all the time. I can nickel and dime you, control this clock, and win with necessary spots. Run the ball here. Go no huddle here. Just drop it here. I only need three. Oh, throw that away, this and this. 15 is manipulating the defense now. He's the best operator for the greatest manipulator I believe we've ever seen in Andy Reid. And that's why this team is such a headache. Because if you go to last year in the Super Bowl, that final drive, what Andy Reid was drawing up was just like, God dang, man, this dude. In the AFC Championship recently, Pat, he was just making simple throws. But the play call, the design, send everybody one way, make it look like a run, have Pat pull it out, drop it off. Why is Patrick Mahomes doing his own read for a touchdown? Andy Reid. And this is what Andy Reid does, and this is why this team is so scary, because you gave that guy 2 weeks to game plan for you. Not only that, you're going to give him a whole game to adapt, to be ready to manipulate your defense in the fourth quarter.
So I want to bring this up. You're a defensive lineman. There's, you know, a little bit of injury to the Eagles' offensive front.
Yeah.
And they got to go against Charles Omenihu, who I think is the unsung hero of that defensive line.
Yeah.
Big dude, really powerful. And he's got Chris Jones next to him.
Uh-huh.
You're a defensive lineman. Sharks smell blood in the water. Is there a little bit of that if you're the Kansas City Chiefs in that defensive front?
Yeah, for sure. But more so, you know what Kansas City's defensive front is here? And I played for Joe Cullen. I played for Joe Cullen in Tampa. Me and Joe Cullen talk all the time. I think I talked to Coach 2 days ago. I'm going to go see him before the week is up. I'm going to tell you what's being said in that D-line room. They believe we can't stop their running back. They believe that one person – can beat our whole defense. They're going to take it personal. They know how great that offensive line is. But you know what Joe Cullen calls offensive linemen? Gray matter. Nameless, faceless souls. He doesn't care what the name is. It's about us.
Right.
That's Joe Cullen's message. It's about us. And as great as Chris Jones has been, he's a Swiss Army knife. You never know where he's going to be. He might be over the center. He might be over either guard. He's listed as a defensive tackle. He will make the Hall of Fame as a defensive tackle, but most of his most impactful plays in the playoffs, he's been a defensive end. That's hell to deal with. But not only that, I can argue from watching tape and knowing football, this past AFC Championship game is the best game Chris Jones has ever played because of how demoralizing he was to that offensive line, taking grown men every play at every position, putting them 3 and 4 yards in the backfield. You got a guy who's doing that, and George on the edge, I mean, the way he plays the game is like It's like he's got multiple batteries. You know, he just changes his battery out every quarter, man, because he never slows down. And that's how Joe Cullen coaches the game. So I know what's being said in that defensive line. Right,
yeah, and I can tell you I totally agree with everything that you're saying right now, because when the narrative, and we started Super Bowl week, I go, look, everybody's going to be talking about Saquon Barkley running all over the Chiefs defense this week. And you know what's going to happen? He's not. He's not, because we've got proof. We got Steve Spagnuolo, who shut down Tom Brady when they were 17-0. We got Steve Spagnuolo, who shut down Derrick Henry in the AFC Championship game. We got Steve Spagnuolo, who shut down Christian McCaffrey and the other tight end out there, Kittle, and all these guys in San Francisco last year. And when they feel like they're being attacked, they respond in a big way.
Yeah, for sure. And my reasoning for picking Kansas City to win this game is, if I gave you a list of stats, right? Four different lists with no name on them, and said, pick the Kansas City Chiefs. You're probably going to pick the one with the best numbers. You're not going to pick the one with the average numbers or the blended in numbers. Because the names and the resumes don't reflect how good this team is, but the record does. Mm-hmm. They know how to win games. They have figured the great teams find a way to win the game. And I trust Andy Reid and Spags vastly more than I trust Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni. And it's because these guys have been here. They've seen everything. And they know how to put their guys in positions to just win games, man. And Spags, he be drawing it up, man. Spags draws it up, man. I hate how underrated and how underappreciated Spags is, man. I love Spags. Spags was the coach when I came out from college. So, yeah, man, I love Spags.
Who's the greatest coach you ever played for?
Greatest coach?
Yeah.
Joe Cullen.
It is Joe Cullen. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
that's Cullen. Awesome to hear.
Because Joe Cullen, defensive line coaches, when they coach a certain way, and they say, hey, today we're going to work on this move. This is the move we're going to work on. Everybody can't do that move. Joe Cullen, the first day he set us down the defensive line, he had every player undrafted, free agent, Pro Bowl, whatever, broken down person for person, and he said, this is what you do best. This is all you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. And then he brought the next person up. This is what you do. You don't do what Gerald does. That's what he does. You do this. And he developed guys. And he develops them. That's why you see people come in. George is not your traditional one-on-one. You put him on the edge versus anybody, he's going to go kill you in pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
But what Joe has turned him into is he's developed one thing, and he does that one thing over and over and over. He plays with great effort. That's what Joe Cullen does. And he's done that with anybody I've ever been around. And that's why, to me, he's the best coach I've ever played.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm so effing tired of this referee crap, the games are fixed, and all this stuff. And every time somebody says that, I go, do you realize how much you're not crediting this coaching staff with how good they are?
It's disrespectful, man.
It is disrespectful.
It's disrespectful, and we've gotten greatness fatigue, and I hate that.
So real quick before we get you out of here, Gerald McCoy, you can find him, McCoy and Van Noy, on Yahoo Sports, YouTube, and all major podcast platforms. Going by the theme of Batman, Patrick Mahomes is Bruce Wayne during the regular season, then Batman in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, nah, Patrick Mahomes is whatever he want to be.
Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We appreciate
the time. Thanks, brother.
He joins us. All our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Tune in to McCoy and Van Noy with Gerald McCoy and Kyle Van Noy and Yahoo Sports. The show brings fans inside the locker room and breaks down the game through a player's point of view. We'll keep going along on this Radio Row. Josh Briscoe will join us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Stars are beginning to arrive here at Radio Row, which, you know what we do here. We give you big game coverage, and big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. All right, Briscoe,
wish me luck. The lady of my dreams, Kay Adams, is here. She's behind us. She's doing her thing. Any advice you want to give me, or should I just steer clear?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to wish Kay good luck that this meeting does not happen. At least without plenty of runway. I think the further away you approach from, probably the better.
Yeah.
Just to give her like as many opportunities to turn and run as possible.
That's right. Yeah. Just give her as many as much time to get away from her as, you know, maybe our defensive line will get Saquon Barkley time to get out of bounds. We did have Gerald McCoy on earlier. He said disrespectful was a word that he gave when it comes to these, you know, blowhards and tryhards. Another word he used, tryhards. People saying the refs are favorite. I know you've seen the TO audio that he's, you know, he's convinced that it's fixed. Hot take or fake take, whatever it is. Got to be tired of it. Let's just play a football game and leave all the stuff out of it. Right, Josh?
Yeah, and I mean, like, I've experienced a whirlwind of the clips from last night, but no human being has consumed everything from that absolute chaos zoo that it sounds like you guys both survived, so congratulations on that. But even Travis Kelce being like, yeah, you know what, why are you guys all latching on to this? I think that's a good word from Gerald McCoy, and what would he know, you know? I think it's a good word from him. Because it has to be one of those things. I believe Andy Reid when he says it's like something he uses in meeting rooms or whatever. I think Andy Reid really is trying to pick like the most pure motivation to do these things. It's always this game, this play, this week, etc. Now we're obviously talking about it on the biggest stage. But if you are one of these players who keeps hearing that your dynasty that you have built with your blood, sweat, and tears, specifically the guys who have been here at least these last three seasons, you have to be losing your mind about the fact. I mean, imagine any other version of that in any other walk of life. Like, yeah, you know, Dusty, you've been on a real hot streak on the mic, but I heard that really all the magic is happening somewhere in the board. I can't explain where, but once all the levers get to where they're supposed to be, then you really get good at radio. Like, that's infuriating. So I think disrespect is a good way of putting a point on it.
And it's the word that I've kind of been looking for the last, I don't know, couple of years with this thing, too. And disrespect, I think, is that word that I've been trying to find and put my finger on when it comes to this coaching staff. I was talking to somebody last night about that, and I'm like, every time I hear them blame the referees or say the fix is in or any of this stuff, it angers me for the coaches on this staff because of the work that they put in. Because Dave Tobe is better at you than special teams than anybody else in the NFL. Steve Spagnuolo is better at defense than anybody in the NFL. Andy Reid and Matt Nagy together are better at offense than anybody in the NFL. And when they talk about the fix being in, that's looking at those great coaches who are better than everybody else and saying, what they're doing doesn't matter. They're not really doing anything. It's not about all that hard work that they put in or all that film study that they put in to know the weak link on the Denver line or to know that the quarterback for Buffalo, I forget his name, is going to go left every single time on the tush push. Like, it really, really, really impacts the way and disrespects the way that these guys coach. They're so much better than everybody else, and people are just having a hard time understanding that the Chiefs just do things better.
I think that's right, and I think that's also why the varying levels of it have gotten more frustrating. If you're a part of a losing fan base and you're just like lashing out post-game, I'm sure that there are things that everyone in Kansas City said about the peak Patriots that we're not entirely proud of, right? Like, I'm willing to give fan bases some time to feel their feelings. But when you do get to former players and coaches and current players even after losses, talking about the ref thing, it is, back to your point, Bob, it is undercutting and invalidating the work that has gone into it,
yep.
Which is why I think it bothers Travis Kelce, not necessarily when some Bills fan says, oh, everything's fixed, and then the Bills fan will tune into the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. Again, like, you're a fan going through sports heartbreak. I'm willing, in the most generous moment, I'm willing to give you a little bit of wiggle room to just process what it's like to keep watching your team get beaten by the same team over and over and again when it means the most. But if you know the work that goes into being not a dynastic football team, a professional football team, you know what, just a random example that's coming to mind, but like, you know what Mitchell Schwartz went through in Cleveland to eventually get to the point that he did in Kansas City to be an incredible lineman in this organization after years of being great in an organization that had to be harder to prepare for week in and week out. You see that process now. We know what the Chiefs go through every single week. The idea that they've gotten it because the NFL preordained that a dynasty would come through Kansas City is patently absurd, but I think that those are kind of the reasons that the people have fallen to it, and it's honestly disappointing because it's costing people an opportunity to appreciate the greatest thing the NFL has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, disappointing. Groundhog saw its shadow, so we get extended winter, but we feel like Groundhog's Day again in the Super Bowl. Last year, the narrative was, can they stop the offense of the San Francisco 49ers spearheaded by Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo, and George Kittle? This year, enter the names of Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and then it's also spearheaded by Saquon Barkley, or as what Hugh Douglas called him yesterday, Saquon Broccoli.
Right.
And then last year it was Christian McCaffrey. Those guys last year, those receivers and tight end that I mentioned, 85 total yards, Christian McCaffrey, the fumble, and not really a big impact. This year, here we are, once again, same story, different year. What say you, Mr. Briscoe, in the belief that if you can shut down the number one running back last year in Christian McCaffrey, why can't this same team on the defensive front do it again to a guy like Saquon Barkley?
I think there's a pretty good chance they can, and it's funny to kind of use this as an opportunity to compare and contrast Purdy and Hurts, because I think there are a lot of comparisons there that might kind of surprise some people, especially in terms of how these offenses have been built around them. Hurts has gotten paid, but his salary cap, you know, enormous ballooning hasn't happened yet. Didn't happen this year. Won't entirely happen next year. And obviously Purdy's in that, you know, that pre-giant payout class. But I am optimistic about the Chiefs being able to do enough with Saquon, because we've seen them do that in the past. The thing that has me with a little bit more pause now than at this time last year is that I do think the Eagles have the better quarterback between the two opponents, not between the two teams playing in this game, just to be exceedingly clear, because the internet's a wild place. But I think Jalen Hurts has opportunities to do more both in and out of structure than Brock Purdy did, right? And a little bit of that is just Jalen Hurts is an absolute freak running the football, but we've seen the Chiefs be able to manage guys that have done that as well. The thing with Saquon that does make him similar to McCaffrey last year is that it's not just the 3-4-5 yard chunks over and over. I've never subscribed to the idea that Patrick Mahomes and an offense with Patrick Mahomes can be beaten 4 yards a carry at a time from the other offense. That's never really been how this team has worked, because they have the better quarterback, they have the better offense. The thing that makes Saquon especially dangerous, again, similar to CMC, but in a level and in a way I've never really seen before, is that Saquon is so explosive. You get these 60-yard runs, that's the thing that you don't typically get from a running game, and certainly not consistently. These explosive plays that just erase the need for long, consistent drives. The Chiefs usually are happy to make you take these long drives where eventually you're going to make a mistake, eventually they're going to get you on third and long, and then Spags is going to blitz you and either force the field goal or the punt. That's kind of the formula. Well, if Saquon takes a carry on first and 10 for a 60-yard touchdown, you just got to send your offense back out there again. That's the thing that I think is most dangerous. If you told me Saquon would never have a run over, I don't know, 25, maybe even 30 yards in this game, I would happily pick the Chiefs right then and feel pretty good about it.
Well, and I think also, too, back to the disrespect thing as we wrap things up here, Josh, is that Steve Spagnuolo was told he couldn't stop Tom Brady, shut him down. Steve Spagnuolo was told he couldn't stop Derrick Henry, shut him down. Every time there's been this, oh, my God, this guy's going to dominate a game, Steve Spagnuolo shuts him down. And I go back to 07 with the Giants when they beat the Patriots. Like, Steve Spagnuolo has been doing this for almost 20 years now in the NFL. We're taking a team where nobody thinks they can stop their big player, and Steve Spagnuolo shuts him down. And so when you constantly tell me that Saquon Barkley or Saquon Broccoli is going to run wild on this, you're forgetting the history and the track record that Steve Spagnuolo has down in shutting down your greatest weapon.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And Carrington asked yesterday, like, the biggest mismatch, the biggest matchup that benefited the Chiefs. And it's hard because I think these two teams are physically and positionally very well matched up. I think my answer to that question has to be that Steve Spagnuolo is a bad matchup for Kellen Moore. That is a place where the Chiefs have a significant advantage. For an offense that has a ton of talent across from it, I think Spags is going to have to be the plus-plus factor in this game. My last question for you, Bob, where did you get that hat? I saw it on the video feed earlier, and I would like a Kansas City Chiefs captain's hat. That feels really up my alley.
My friend Paul got these 2 years ago. He said, I found these captain hats with the Chiefs logo on it. I'm like, what? And they showed up, and they're perfect. They're wonderful. Clark Hunt loves it, and he told me when they win on Sunday, he'll be wearing it.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, in your own best interest, I will say auction the first one back to Clark, and then the second one I'd like to put my name on. But go ahead and let Clark get you first.
He's got it first. He's got it first, my man. And if you want one, I think there's a tag inside my hat. I can send you a picture of where you – or you can just Google Chiefs captain's hats, right? And I think you'll be able to find – I've actually seen a lot of them at the stadium recently.
Okay, well, listen, once Clark has one, it's kind of like once Taylor Swift has grabbed a vintage jacket out of your favorite thrift store. Like, I'm not going to be able to find another one. If Bob Fesco and Clark Hunt are wearing the same hat, the ship has sailed. I've missed the boat.
It's done. It's over.
Well, that's okay, Briscoe. We can wear, like, necklaces around our thighs now. It seems to be the trendy thing. So let's just start that one. What do you say for that?
Mine already has an 87 on it, so I'm ready to go.
That is not our captain, but our contributor of the Chiefs, Josh Briscoe, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Mr. Briscoe, enjoy the rest of the week doing all the stuff that you do that is great and entertaining, and enjoy that game on Sunday, my man.
Have fun out there, fellas.
Thank you very much. That is Josh Briscoe again, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Guys, we got to break early. We got a guest coming up on the other side that we got a lot of questions for, and his name is Mike Florio. You guys know him. We know him. We'll talk to him next here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports. All right, we're back here live from Radio Row here on 96.5 The Fan. Kansas City, how the hell are you? Missed my town already. I know it's only been 2.5 days since we've been in New Orleans, but we'll be back soon, but hopefully we're coming back with some souvenirs, another trophy, and ready to celebrate once again a victorious Super Bowl that is down here in New Orleans. Don't forget, big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. And also, we're broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, drink responsibly.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that we can already say we've taken away from today. We're going to have at least Travis Kelce for another year, and Patrick Mahomes is as dialed in as I think he's ever been into going out there and winning another Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about it to start the show, the way he looked last night, and then just the folks that I've talked to, you know, around the organization, go, this is the one for Patrick. This one is going to be the one that separates him from everything else.
All right, we're now joined by Mike Florio here on Fesco and Dusty. Mike, how are you on this wonderful
good
Tuesday morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right.
Great.
I wish I had a hurricane in my hand or a hand grenade, whatever they are. I think they're supposed to be kind of fun, but it would make this for an interesting time.
A hand
it?
Grenade would definitely turn it into a party, okay. That's for sure.
Yeah, so would a hurricane. Yeah. You're going to be at Pat O'Brien's this week with your
that's
book, right?
We're, yeah. we're going to Pat O'Brien's for our Picks podcast tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Central Time. Everyone's invited, and that's the home place of the hurricane,
yeah.
They tell me.
And so, you only need one, and then you're done.
That's what I've heard.
For the week.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I like to push the envelope, so you know how we do things. But
it's such a busy week, though.
Yeah,
you have to really pace yourself. I kind of overdid it a little on Sunday night, and I paid for it yesterday. And yesterday's the slowest day.
Right.
But I learned a valuable lesson. I've been very careful. And this week, it's already, you know, I try to compare Radio Row from year to year. It feels like there's already more energy in here than there would be on a normal Tuesday, which tells me it's going to be even worse Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday than it usually is.
Stick around for 5 minutes. You'll see some energy on this side of the table. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, and the location helps, too. I mean, it's not West Coast, so more shows are out here. The morning shows are out here. Everybody's doing their thing because of where we are. And, you know, last year at the Super Bowl, you kind of stole the show for Kansas City, saying Andy Reid was going to, you know, kind of walk away and do all that kind of stuff. And he's locked and loaded and ready to go, you know, Clark said for the long time now, and that's great because Andy is one of the greats of the game. No offense, I'm glad you were wrong on that one. We get to keep Andy.
Let me clarify, because people believe what they want to believe,
right,
and they take whatever they hear and they twist it into something other than what I actually said. The Chiefs were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire after last year's Super Bowl. That is 1,000% true, if that's even mathematically possible, and I know it's not, but they were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire. Now, was it a leverage play to get his contract fixed? Maybe it was. Maybe if they weren't going to fix that contract, he gets to a point where he says it's not worth it for whatever he was making before. He got his raise, and now he's locked in. He'll catch Bill Belichick if he can physically continue. He might catch Don Shula as long as it takes for him to get there. But, yeah, he's locked in, and he's still there. But as of last year, the Chiefs were bracing for the possibility because they were scoping out potential replacements. That's how I knew about it. They wanted to be ready in the event that Andy Reid walked away. That's 100% or 1,000% or 1,000,000% true. At the end of the day, he didn't. He got his contract. And now it's not even a question. It's not even a question whatsoever. He's going to continue.
You know, it's interesting you say it that way, because I've talked to general managers in baseball over the years. They always have like a list of like their 5 to 10 managers that they would go towards. Do you think it's that way in the NFL, where every owner does have a list of people that they would go to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why the Rooney Rule, for as much as the NFL tries to support it and advance it, and I think it's admirable, nothing replaces the fact that an owner knows who the owner wants. And maybe you can get the owner to slow down and think it through, but I'd say most of the time, 90% of the time, maybe between 80 and 90, the owner knows deep down, entering the process, who the owner eventually wants to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And they go do it. You're not going to tell a multi-billionaire that they can't do what they want to do, and that's how it works. So I think that, especially if Andy would retire during Patrick Mahomes' career, it's critical that Clark Hunt has an active list of guys who are or may be available that would be targeted to replace Andy Reid and continue the success that Andy's had with Patrick Mahomes. So, I get it would be bad business to not have that list.
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
So you had mentioned last night that maybe this is the end for Travis Kelce. But we had Clark Hunt on today. He seems to think that he's not going anywhere. Still a year on his contract. I used to think that if they won, it's the Cinderella or the storybook ending, you know, propose to the superstar, get married, do your life off the field. I don't think he's going anywhere now. Hearing from the owner, seeing the energy last night, I think that, like, you know, why get off the bike if it's still going smooth and you have all this time to keep going and see what's next for, you know, maybe the tight end that could go down as the greatest of all time?
He's in a different position than other players because he will make more money when he stops playing than he's making when he's playing. If anything, his football career is getting in the way of him maximizing his earning potential.
Happened
away.
For me, too. I know what he's
right?
going
yeah.
through. Yeah.
But look at it this way. I mean, he's already involved in Hollywood, producing movies, acting. To get maximum effect, if you do walk away, you got to sell it like you're not. And I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying there's an element of show business to this.
Are you sure?
You want to keep it under wraps. You don't want that to be the centerpiece of the week. You don't want to take attention away from what your team's trying to accomplish. You don't want that to take on a life of its own. And maybe you feel differently once the confetti falls and it's done and you've gotten your 3 in a row. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Does he come back? He has said it. I know. But again, you might feel differently once it's done, and he might be holding it close to the vest. He might be in denial. He might be so focused on the task at hand, he's not even thinking about the possibility. But once it happens, maybe he walks away. Remember when Tom Brady got number 5, his ex-wife, Giselle, told him, now's the time to walk. She knew that was the moment that would be perfect. They'd suspended him that year for Deflategate. They had the 28-3 game. They came back and won. There's nothing more you could want. Well, yeah, he still won 2 more, but at what cost to his personal life? That would have been the perfect moment for him to walk away. She knew it. And then after he got the next one and the next one after that, what are you waiting for? When do you finally stop? Now, some guys just can't, and maybe at the end of the day, Travis Kelce is not willing to get off the horse that brought him to this life that he now enjoys.
Yeah, because once you stop, you don't go back.
Can't go back.
You can't go back, and so I would suggest to an athlete, play as long as you possibly can until they tell you to leave.
Nobody
right?
wants to have that Willie Mays last year, though.
Right, you're
where,
right. Yep.
Where people feel sorry for you, that they see that guy on the field and they think that's not the guy that we're accustomed to seeing.
Even Peyton Manning had that sort of thing. You know, they didn't even
and
start
won a Super Bowl.
With no neck.
I want to ask you this. You cover a lot of football, have covered a lot of football. Do you, Mike Florio, have Chiefs fatigue?
I do not have Chiefs fatigue. Now, look, I root for great stories. And whatever it is that moves the needle the most, I'm all for it. Would it be better if other teams were getting to the Super Bowl, if we didn't have Chiefs 49ers twice, if we didn't have Chiefs Eagles twice? Would it be better? I don't know. But it's a compelling story. It's the potential for history. I like a good controversy, right? Mm-hmm. I like something that gets people coming back to see what the latest development is. And I've always had this guiding principle that I write about the things that I'm interested in. And so I try to keep that part of me that was a fan that would want to say, what's the latest on this? What's the latest on that? What's the latest on this? Oh, that's a pretty good story. I want to know more about that. And I think we've had some success because I've stayed true to that. Not give people what, and you can't just give people cookies all the time. Sometimes you owe it to them to try to get their attention on something that's less interesting. But the Chiefs are interesting, and the Chiefs are on the edge of history. And I'd like to think that that element of us that was rooting for Tiger Woods to catch Jack Nicklaus is still at play. But we all have a natural reaction to, can we please get someone else in these games? Could we just give somebody else a turn? Don't they say that to kids? Hey, Jimmy, give the other kids a turn. I think we just like to see different players, different faces, different names. But at the end of the day, we want great games. And the best way to get the best possible game is to get the two best teams. And I think we have the two best teams.
Yeah, I think we do as well. If Patrick and the Chiefs win this one in three-peat, is he the greatest of all time?
Yes. Yes.
Over time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Although, I was asked this a little bit ago, I'd probably still take Brady over Mahomes in a one-game setting, just like I'd take Belichick over Reed in a one-game setting. But
why?
Over the course of time, I just think that, well, Belichick especially, he'll put together a game plan that will be masterful and it'll be aimed at exploring and exploiting your weaknesses, minimizing your strengths. I just don't think that his style is sustainable long-term. He wears people out. The Chiefs seem more sustainable. You're not going to have guys who get burned out and fatigued and just can't wait to get the hell out of there like I think happened in New England. And with Brady has the more established history of just making the big play in the big spot. Patrick does too, but they had one game against each other, and Brady won that game. And I know it wasn't Patrick's fault, and he did everything in his power and then some to try to close that gap. He was doing incredible things with his body to get the football into the hands of guys who kept dropping it, and they didn't have the blocking that day, and he had the bad toe. But Brady's 1-0 on the biggest stage, really 2-0
yeah.
against him because of the coin flip, but that's the way it works. Like, some of these intangible factors that skew toward the Chiefs, mm-hmm. when it was Brady versus Mahomes, they skewed toward Brady.
So do you think Tom will pass the torch on TV?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because my dream is they win, Jim Nance does his It's a Pat trick, and then Tom Brady does He is now the greatest of all time. I'm passing the torch to Patrick Mahomes. He's done something we've never done. You know?
I'd wonder if Brady's going to make his way down to the podium, because usually it's one of the people on the – like Terry Bradshaw,
yeah, Bradshaw
does it for
right,
Fox.
Right.
I just wonder if Brady – ends up being the one to hand the trophy to Mahomes.
Well, Elway did it last year. Why not do it this
year?
Yeah,
hey, and Brady, you know, I can't hate on the hustle or the ability to get whatever you want. Has anyone ever gotten what he wants in this world more than Tom Brady? I can think of a few names that would trigger some people, one particularly who's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but has anyone gotten what he wants in this world more than Tom Brady?
No doubt. Two quick ones before we get you out of here, Mike. We appreciate the time. Howie Roseman or Brett Veach, would you pick?
Well, one of them discovered Patrick Mahomes and one didn't. And so, you know, the Eagles have an incredible team. And I like both of them, and I know both of them. I would say Veach because I think Veach is more comfortable working with a strong head coach, because I think Howie's got some scars of being marginalized by guys like Chip Kelly. And I think that Nick Sirianni maybe isn't the best possible coach for the Eagles, but I think he's less threatening to the GM than other coaches might be. And I think Howie's history has him skewing toward guys, because it's human nature too, skewing toward guys that aren't perceived as threats. And Brett, now look, Andy is perceived as having more juice, but Brett has been the one that's done the work and set the table. And Brett's told the story about discovering this kid at Texas Tech and lobbying aggressively to get Andy to pay attention, and the rest is history.
So then the last one, we had Gerald McCoy on earlier. He said, disrespect when people say the refs are giving the Chiefs the calls to favor their outcome of the game. What say Mike Florio?
Well, I do not believe that the NFL rigs outcomes, because I do not believe the NFL is competent enough to pull it off. It would be a conspiracy that would require the silencing
of folks.
Did you
guys just become best friends?
Right? But here's what I believe.
Yeah.
The NFL has eliminated the firewall between football business and football integrity. And that moment became clear to me when they trotted out Troy Vincent, the executive VP of football operations, October of 2023, to defend the hair trigger roughing the passer calls. And he said, the most popular shows on TV are football games, and if your best quarterbacks are injured, it's not going to be the most popular show on TV.
Right.
I think that mindset, the link between the game and the money, it trickles into the subconscious of the referee. And in that complicated stew of processes and thoughts and your synapses and the message that goes from your mind to your hand, and you got your hand on your, like, I think that that is a factor in the flag coming out for Patrick Mahomes. And somebody said to me yesterday, well, it's, you know, there's other great quarterbacks. Yeah, but he's the one that's playing every January. He's the one that's in the championship game every year. So he's the one. If it would have been Josh Allen against Bo Nix, Josh Allen's going to get the flags in the AFC championship game. Because, and again, it's in the subconscious of the officials, because the NFL has allowed business and sport to become blurred.
Yep.
And everybody who's getting a paycheck signed by Roger Goodell is on board with this idea that we got to get more, we got to get more, we got to get more. And one way to get more is to keep your quarterbacks healthy. So that's what I think is happening.
And I agree with you. I've been saying that like for the last decade. The business side, people have to understand the business side versus the sports side.
They don't care if the Chiefs win. They don't care who wins. They might have some teams that they particularly don't want to win.
Cleveland.
There might be some enemies of the league office from time to time, whoever they happen to be pissed off at any given time, like the Saints or persona non grata, at times the Raiders. But I don't think that they care. I don't think they'd even dare to try. It would bring the whole house down if it would ever get out, and it would be impossible. It would be impossible to keep it quiet if there was some great conspiracy out there to help the Chiefs win. My concern, if I was a Chiefs fan, is going to be a subconscious blowback and a correction from all the talk, because the officials hear that too.
Yep.
And now they're thinking, I can't be perceived as being favorable to the Chiefs. I better keep the flag in my pocket, or I better throw it for this questionable hit on Jalen Hurts. Yep. That's my concern, that it goes the other way and it actually hurts the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
And
that's-
I was that way going into the AFC Championship game. I told these guys, I didn't eat the entire day because I thought we were going to see the overcorrection with Josh Allen.
Last one, where's Myles Garrett going next year?
Well, I don't know, but what I think they should do, the Browns should do exactly what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson. Basically, you have minimum terms that must be agreed to by way of trade before you get permission to talk to Myles Garrett. Four or five teams get pre-approved, the Chiefs, the Eagles. You know, he clearly wants to go to a high-end contender. You get all those teams to the table, and then Myles Garrett gets to pick his team, negotiate his contract, and that's how it gets resolved. But it's going to be a team that he believes is a Super Bowl contender right away. Somebody was asking me earlier about the Patriots. They're not a contender right away. He's going to want to jump on board a team that right away, with his presence, becomes a shortlist Super Bowl contender. And look, that assumes that the Browns will even blink. You know, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of that team, he may be stubborn and say, if you don't want to play for us, you sit your ass on the couch, just like Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, said to Carson Palmer in 2011. But if they're willing to do it, that's the way to do it, to get maximum return, and then Garrett gets to pick his spot. And it might be in Kansas City. Who knows?
Okay, that's how we got to stop
Thank
it
you.
There. Mike, we appreciate the time. Take care.
Thanks,
enjoy
guys.
Man. That is Mike Florio. And again, all our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title in Academy Sports and Outdoors. Has everything you need to rep your team during the historic run. We appreciate the time. We appreciate Nathan. We appreciate Mac, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Go do something nice for somebody today, Kansas City. You never know what can change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay tuned to 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody, Golden, Drew coming up next from 10 to 2.